I'm talking to Douglas Wilson, and Douglas, I'm talking to you about your time in Jacobs. But let me go back a bit and tell me a little bit about your background. Where did you grow up, and what did your father do for a living?
Well, my father worked in the civil service in the customs house, and he worked in, the Department of Customs and Excise. The interesting story is that how he met my mother, he was transferred to Galway. He worked in Dublin. He was transferred to Dublin, to Galway, spent some time in Galway, not very much, met my mother, they married, and I was born in Galway. I was there for about 6 months, and he was transferred back to Dublin again. So I spent about 6 months in Galway as a baby, and I can claim Galwegian by birthright, but I am brought up in Dublin, in the Donnybrook area of Dublin, South Dublin.
I'm born in 1931, yeah. So that would have meant then that your father would have been in the customs and excise, right back at the forming of the Free State?
Virtually, yeah, you're right. Virtually, yeah, absolutely.
Did that just...
Impinge?
Yes.
Not really, no. I suppose in those days my father's job wouldn't have been all that high-ranking or anything like that. No, it didn't interfere. Church of Ireland were in the minority then as they are today, but growing up I never experienced any anti-religious feeling at all whatsoever. In fact, I was very comfortable with all my parents. I know they were. We went to church, the local church, on Sundays and everything, but all our friends, as is the case today, most of my friends are all of the Roman Catholic faith. I have no problem with that. I'm the only Church of Ireland person living on my road, I think.
Oh, I see.
But it's as a married person, you know.
And the customs and excise, was that something that your grandfather was involved in?
No, my father's father worked as a... I think it was in the bank. No, which bank? It's now Allard Irish Bank. And it was then...
Oh, the provincial bank.
He was a provincial, yes, but he worked in Dublin. He was an inspector. Yeah. I never met him. He died before I was born, but I remember meeting his wife, my grandmother. Where did he come from, my grandfather? I don't know. I've forgotten. Yeah. I could look it up. This is where my memory's going to let you down.
But tell me about
your...
Sorry. Can you tell me about your growing up days then?
Yeah.
What part of Dublin again?
South Dublin, in Donnybrook. Belmont Gardens, off Belmont Avenue in Donnybrook. When they came up from Galway, they originally rented a house in Cherryfield Avenue, I think it was.
Yes.
And I became very ill while I was there. I got scarlet fever, and I was in Cork Street Fever Hospital for something like 4 months. There was kind of complications, etc. But I survived it all. And when I came out of hospital, they moved into this new house in Belmont Gardens.
Yeah, so scarlet fever is something you wouldn't think, you wouldn't hear about. Yeah.
No, you don't. Yeah. That's true.
But anyway, so why Jacobs? Why did you decide
I'll tell you why. Prior to working in Jacobs, I worked for the Automobile Association in Suffolk Street, as it was then. And at this stage, I was doing the line with a very nice young lady who eventually became my wife. But we used to toddle around, and the pay wasn't great where I was working. And I said, what will we do about our future? Well, we were thinking we were going to get married all right after a couple of years. So I applied for various jobs in various companies. Jacobs, Guinness's, can't think of the other two. Now, it was two big companies. And Jacobs gave me an interview. A gentleman who was the chief accountant at the time, Gordon Lambert, said, I'll meet you somewhere, Douglas, where can we meet? And I said, well, you pick it, and I'll meet you there. You see, what about the RIC? Well, RAC. Well, I said, all very well, providing I don't meet the boss of the RAC, because he knows my boss in the EAA. So we met him. That's the initial meeting. I took place very casual like this. And then he said, look, I'll let you know in a day or two. I got a letter a few days later to come and see Ed Thompson's father, Mr. Edward Bewley, who was obviously a director of the company at the time, and passed that, got the job, and started off. Eventually, things picked up quite financially for me as well as everything else, and I got married.
And what were you qualified as?
Nothing.
Nothing. So what did you go in doing then?
Well, when we went in, anybody who went in as a young person in those days, without any, you went into the general office and you looked after sort of orders. And biscuits were rationed when I went into the company. I went in 1954, January the 11th, 1954, and biscuits were still on ration in those days. And when the orders came in from the various customers, we would, if they had looked for, say, 10 tins of USA, we would have to reduce that to maybe 4 or 3, because that's all we could allow them to have. How did we arrive at that figure? I just can't remember. But we started off doing that. Then, if you're showing any promise after a six-month trial, we were generally then moved, in those days, it was known as the wages office, and wages were cash to the factory floor. And when I went to the company in 1954, there was something like 2,000 people working in the factory at that stage. And come Christmas, at the season of Christmas, it would go up to about 2,500. From memory, these are the figures I remember. But the wages, we used to make up, calculate the wages, but piece time, bonus time, whatever it was. And it was all cash. And it went to a little tin about that diameter and about that depth. How we got the money in, I'll never know to this day, but we did. And the wages office, it took 1 week, every week, to make up that week's wages.
I see.
The sheets were calculated out by a group of girls in another office who'd work out the peacetime calculation, all this, of the rates that were allowed. It was quite complex, but worked very smoothly.
So you were in charge of...
No, I wasn't in charge. I was just one of seven in the wages office. I think there was about seven of us there. Yeah. And a gentleman called Mr. Billy Burgess was the boss man, and he'd an assistant, and there was five of us working under him, all men at that stage.
Were you working there with Brenda Boyd? Was she one of the... She worked in wages as well.
Oh, that would be years afterwards. When I was in the wages office, there were men only.
Really?
Boys only. Because from there then... You were kind of marking time in the wages office until an opportunity came, a management, junior management role somewhere within the system worked very well, and eventually I was picked out and I was put into the buying office, as not an assistant, but to work in the buying office under a buyer, and eventually became assistant buyer for a few years, and then I was moved over to production planning at that stage. So I'm jumping to see...